Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
So with that, it is my honor today to be introducing Sam Tatel. Sam is a queer Black Jewish woman with an ex-lifelong practitioner of Aikido and social and racial activist. And that is a mouthful. Sam also is coming at us specifically from Minneapolis, where they have been actively involved in the race protests that have been going on, kind of the epicenter of that for those of us who are joining from the US. We all are very familiar with what's going on in Minneapolis. Sam has also been studying Aikido since they were basically a baby. So basically for your entire life, third degree black belt, and has also really taken a leadership role this year in how to try to make the martial art of Aikido more inclusive and more diverse. So with that, it is my pleasure to welcome Sam Tatel.
Mallory, thank you so much. Watching the sponsors of video, I kind of feel a bit like Rafe. I was always on the mat and practicing with my mom and officially started Aikido when I was 5. So it feels very close to home. I don't know what it's like to not be rolling around on the mat with people I love. And that's really how I found my connection in life too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the fact that you have basically had an embodied life from like day one is really a huge part of your credentials, right? For sure. And such an interesting existence of all that you bring to who you are. So I just wanted to start this session by just having you give us it's a really an amazing opportunity, I feel like, for those of us who are joining here who are either, you know, familiar with you or the Aikido world, or also really coming at this being more from the side of race and social justice. Everything that you bring to that conversation is so complex and so interesting. So would you just start off by telling us a little bit about how you identify yourself?
It's something that I'm still figuring out. Like in the intro, I am mixed, Black, Jewish, and I think I've always existed in those liminal spaces and been really curious about kind of how is my foot in this door, how is my toe in that door, and why is this door slamming on my foot? Really questioning why I can't be belonging and feel welcomed in those spaces, but having the nuances and training to understand the gymnastics and rules that it takes to exist in all those spaces. And I've mostly moved through white spaces in my life, and that's been interesting in its own way because I feel that my safety is right dependent on other people around me being comfortable and just not experience discomfort, because that in turn is dangerous to myself. And so rather this year in particular, really pushing that a little bit, and rather than just allowing that to carry on, to happen, being more fully, right, embodied in myself and representing myself fully. And it's okay that many people see me maybe as a paradox, but then finding the power to just accept myself as I am. I feel like I'm pulling these communities together as now like a community liaison, because I speak all these different languages, even if someone may not consider me fluent in them. And so pulling these communities together, why can't you get along, is my internal struggle too. Why can't I get along with myself? And I think society has set up this binary that is really harmful with gender, with race, with so many aspects. So these like large scale struggles in Minneapolis, globally, and also internally is something I've been investigating my whole life. And I think something I may be a little more aware and in tune with than other folks. So hopefully this will help piece that together a little bit more.
Well, I think that leads us right into your choice of your title, Existence as Protest. Mm-hmm. Just all of the parts of you, all coming together in one, are almost as if you are embodying protest.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about what that experience is like, or the...
Yeah, I spent a long time on my title, tweaking it, fiddling with it, and I think it was to draw attention, because the fact that I am existing as myself in this world as a mixed queer person is a rebellion in a sort to whatever heteronormative patriarchal system that we exist in. And what I want to draw attention to in this discussion is how that's not okay. Someone's just existence as themselves shouldn't be a constant protest, because it is exhausting. And I hope that folks leave here with the ability to perspective take a little more, and to question kind of the boxes that we are asked to put ourselves in to fit into this society, and how we may change day to day as well. We change in our minds, we change in our bodies, we grow. And so expanding past that binary and embracing this fluidity from moment to moment, and being centered within that all, being yourself, but being okay if that point changes, and how to find it. There are so many ways to come to embodiment and living as yourself fully. I personally need this very physical body perspective to kind of find myself and expand from there. And then it goes to my brain and mental and abstract. But other folks, it's a very top-down experience, and you can obviously approach it sideways too. And finding your way to that center point is different for everyone. I'm offering one way here today, but something in a talk previously that Prentice Hempel said that I facilitated, they said, I answered the question, is embodiment intellectual or too intellectual? And they said, your brain is in your body. Obviously it has to be that too. It's just the ways that you approach it can be so different. And then importantly, noticing what way works for you at that time, which is the first step. You can't be embodied if you don't even notice when you're not, or how to get there. That was a long answer.
No, that was totally, totally beautiful. And thank you for bringing us specifically into embodiment, because I think the fact that you started martial arts as a child, that you have really, I'm going to say, used your body as your compass, trusted your body to help you guide you through finding all of these different identities. And certainly growing up in a time when people really had to just check one box, what are you? As opposed to now, I think there's a little bit more of a growing understanding that there have to be multiple boxes, and why can't we just not check any boxes, really? But yeah, I would want to maybe lead us into talking a little bit more about your experience coming up in the martial arts, in Aikido. In that practice, as being all of the things that you are, and how you brought that to the mat.
Yeah, it's really interesting being a mixed person, a Black person, a Jewish person on the mat in a Japanese martial art. And I've also had experiences in very traditional dojos where I'm not in any way trying to be Japanese, but I'm bringing my true self to the training and trying to expand from there. And you're very right, I do process things through my body, because I've been practicing with my body for my entire life, really in specific and delicate ways. So I notice those nuances in myself. And from that, I also notice people's reactions to what I put out. And I think that's where I get lost in my brain labyrinth a little bit. I have this Rolodex of reactions, and knowing, oh, if I'm in X space, I have to do this to get that reaction for this person to feel like that. And that just can catastrophize in my future. So rather coming back and knowing that, yes, I'm a Black individual today, a mixed individual right now. And I think my battle has been finding how to marry all those pieces. In Japanese culture, they have this idea of having three faces. One is your public face, which you meet straight off the bat if you're a stranger in a work meeting or something, or just anyone new, there's a public face. And then kind of a layer inside that, there is a familial face where your family and close friends see that, but no one outside your circle. And then closely, there's just your own face, which no one gets to see. No one sees that face. And I feel like I've been living with just more than one public mask for so long, because I have to be a certain way to not push anyone out of their box. And now I'm pushing of, why is that box okay? You would be so happy outside that box if you could expand and grow. And also, I want to name that is very generational. I think millennials like myself did grow up in that time where there was a lot of structure and knowing, oh, if I do X, Y, and Z, I'm supposed to succeed. But I went to college. What's my job? I'm in debt. I don't own a house. And that's not the same as generations previously. Whereas Gen X is, I'm fluid and wonderful and here. Whereas millennials are trying to embrace our identities, we still have that stigma that's very much what we've been brought up in. So I like the trend. I like where it's going. And with my Aikido journey specifically, I got to live in a dojo, which was emotionally tiring, physically tiring, but it stripped me to a core that I found that has changed since then. But this core that I got to find, my stubbornness, my perseverance, and to stick something out as who I am and to exist in a space, hold my space when things were pushing me out. And being in my body for that was really important, and loving my body. But also, I had a huge motorcycle accident. And so accepting this new body that I have and heal and refresh, and finding training here in Minneapolis at East Lake Aikido, and the community has been incredible. And now our global community, which I had travel plans before COVID happened, but obviously being a part of this and a ton of other panels and seminars, I'm meeting folks I would never have met. So I just am so grateful for where I am and the silver lining. And it's not just silver lining. There's pieces that I truly am grateful for. And also pieces I'm mad about, and that's okay. There's a lot of systems that we live in that I don't agree with and will not conform to.
I think, I'm quite sad that you were actually one of your destinations with Seattle. I was going to host you here, which was going to be kind of great. But here we are in the pandemic, and suddenly all of our engagement has been online. And you're right, the silver lining, though, has absolutely been to connect. And also, I would say that the silver lining of the pandemic has been that there has been a much more intense place for people to engage with race and identity that I'm not sure would have existed without this confined time for all of us. So I'm curious to hear what your sense of it is. It's like suddenly everyone is like, oh my God, I have to suddenly like read all the books and make sure I'm not, anti-racist or anti-racist, or what's better, being anti-race, like everyone is like struggling like that. What has been your experience just observing that?
It's been weird because it's kind of welcome to the melee. This is something, a battle that has been going on internally in me for a very long time. And now I'm trying to find the words to describe it to help others kind of notice what that is, because having these maybe conflicting identities in one perspective and making it so they can exist in one human, myself, has been my journey and my path. And I think that's where the world is coming to a head right now. And I am still together as one human. So I think that we together can also do that. And it's just a matter of how you meet those identities. And I'm excited. I think conflict is generative. I hope that is where we're going with all this. And to really find that growing process, because growing is uncomfortable. That discomfort is the space in which we push our edge and expand and find a new home in ourselves and connect with other people. I mean, it's growing pains. My partner is really tall and lived through a lot of growing pains. And we're doing that socially, in our current climate. And I think it's good. I think it's good. It may not be pleasant because change isn't, at least for me personally. I am very static, or want to be sometimes, but I think it's good. And how we navigate that discomfort is something we'll work on in a drill coming up.
Great. I wanted to just ask you one question before I let you actually get us all embodied, which is this idea, and you've said it in other conversations that we've had about code switching. And basically, you know, here you are in an Aikido dojo, and if you're within, you know, an entirely all white group, you are acting a certain way, or an entirely, you know, black group, you're acting a different way, and just the struggle of that. But I want to also ask you, when has it been a benefit to you as well? If you can also see both sides of that, or speak to that.
Yeah, there's a lot of code switching, and code switching isn't just words. It's body language and everything around that. So I can move through those spaces and do have the tools to unlock so many doors. Whether I feel comfortable in those spaces is a whole different matter. I'm not white enough to be white. I'm not black enough to be black. And holy hell, you're Jewish too. How is that okay? And what, you're not religious? And so all those things, I can connect with people. I've moved through so many spaces, experienced so many perspectives just from my own identities, that I can offer and connect with people from a really genuine place. And that's the difference between, because before, whereas I'm putting on a mask and that was really heavy and burdensome, now I am still making those connections, but I'm offering a facet of myself to strike a true connection, to grow from that. Maybe different depending on the person I meet, but it's still me. So embracing all those pieces in myself as a whole being, and being able to then reach out and offer that piece to someone else so that we can found a relationship, has been invaluable. I can connect with people and understand kind of how we can move forward together, which Aikido is really foundational for me in that part of not just meeting conflict, but then finding a path forward together. And it's not always together, but a path forward that we agree upon in some way. It could be two people walking away, but acknowledging that we can all do harm. We have all done harm. And rather than going back and trying to fix it and repair that, because it's never going to be the same. The situation changes the moment you perceive it differently. The situation changes the moment you do something differently. So that code switching, the body language, and everything that I've moved through offers me those resources to like see more ways forward rather than just kind of being stuck in the past. Although I swear I've been there a lot.
Well, that's a perfect segue into the fact that you really have been able to use your Aikido and your body literacy, even though you feel like you might not have complete fluid literacy in your personas, you absolutely embody body literacy. So bring us into your world.
Okay, cool. Thank you. And I think, as I said, discomfort means growth. And as a martial arts practitioner, and this is one of my first identities, how I've explored my other identities is from a martial arts perspective. The difference between discomfort and harm, the more we practice martial arts, the more we train, I think it's like a Venn diagram. And in that way, we can discern the pieces better, understanding and pulling those apart, where I can be uncomfortable versus where I am in danger, in harm. And there's, of course, an overlap there. But teasing those apart is so important for everyone's safety. Because like I said before, your being uncomfortable should not risk my life. And that's what a lot of people are facing right now, especially in Minneapolis. And that's what we're addressing. So first, I invite you to become uncomfortable or unbalanced, right? Same, very similar veins. So if you're sitting or standing, just move around, tip, 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 and find how that feels. I personally am going to stand up in my little kitchen and you can still see me, but tip, tip. And from there, come back and sink, soft knees, really let your bum like expand on your seat and get sunk. And this is important because the whole earth, the entire earth, is supporting you. I think that is such a beautiful thing to have, this earth supporting us and knowing it's always there. I love the ground. In Aikido, for Ukemi, that's the safest place. A lot of people try to like fly away from it, but that's my scary interim time when I don't know how I'm going to receive the ground, and the ground is not going to receive me. So I need to change something about myself so that I meet it properly. And she is always there supporting us. So as I sit, I can feel the ground through my feet. And also I need to breathe. So from here, a lot of times I notice when I walk by or I'm outside in public, it's very expanded and I have to look skinny and I have to hold my stomach in, but that's not embracing my body and being kind to my body in a whole way. My body is here for me to live and to breathe. So I ask you to expand into your stomach and really let your tummy, like a balloon, sink into your pelvis and everything is expanded for your breath that lets you live. And appreciating it as it goes in your nose, into your core, and gently out your mouth, feeding the life around you as well. It's all connected to nature. And for me right now, I feel in my pelvis, deep in my core, at my hips, that's where my being is right now. It's very centered. And that's helpful for me because it draws down my mind into a place that is more stable. And that's assisted by my feet. So I think of it as my arches are really light and there's a course of energy up my inner legs and thighs. And that goes into my core and straight back down the outside of my legs and the outside of my feet are roots expanding into the ground. And I feel the ball of my foot around to my heel pressing out, but it's this circle that I feel moving through my core. And I like my head and my shoulders to just sit atop that, supported right by my legs, my center, and by the earth, which is so much bigger than all of us. And now, I ask you to move that concentration up into your crown of your head like a fly just landed. I feel more uppity. I feel like I'm tipping and I'm just sitting. And so that difference to me is something I'm still paying attention to and playing. And it depends on how I'm feeling in the moment. Ha, the fly. Yes, that wasn't even intentional. Good note, humanity forward, the fly. Famous fly. So that fly is on our head and it is drawing all my attention up. It takes me into everything political, everything I'm mad about, and I feel like I can't do anything about it. And I'm moving, I don't feel centered or low, I don't feel the ground. And if I'm receiving from that place, whatever it is, if I'm receiving that I didn't change the bag for the garbage from my partner from that place, I would get mad. If I'm receiving that I didn't wash the dishes or that our nation feels like it's falling apart from that place, it's really overwhelming and I will just tip. I don't know if people have felt this before, but when I am uncomfortable in a situation, it's my chest that gets tense and tight and everything feels up my neck and everything is in my brain, which is a scary place sometimes. That's why I work from the body. Personally, you may work from your brain top down, but I work from my body. So instead, let's focus again on our core, between our pelvis, and feel the earth again. from here, it's okay to be feeling the same things, to be mad, but there is way more space available for my reaction. I can just put a bag in the garbage can. That's no skin off my back. It's something that I forgot. Ask how the other person is feeling, and it doesn't feel as overwhelming or pressure on me. Do folks feel the difference between that? You could be the difference between concentrating on something super high and heavy versus concentrating in the ground, and how even just an imaginary is received differently in your body. And right, the situation is different depending on how you receive it. Oh, great. Yeah. So folks, I'm going to take this a little farther. In a drill that I've been working on for a workshop, a de-escalation workshop that I've been presenting and offering to the community. So first, I'll ask you to receive from a centered point, because that is a little less uncomfortable. So once again, center, feel the ground, expand your roots, but also feel that energy coursing up from the ground, that energy into your center, and you are supported. With this, if you're comfortable in your environment, to close your eyes and you're walking down the street, a normal day, coming home, going to get groceries, a normal day. But now someone is approaching you a block away, everything normal. But please make that person the scariest individual for you in your brain. What does that person look like? Acknowledge who that person is. Is it a really big black man? Is it someone with face tattoos? Is it a slimy white guy come to hit on you and you just feel it about to happen? Are you really afraid of COVID and what's been called inappropriately the China virus? And that's gone under your skin in your brain. Who is that person? And why are they scary to you? How the person moved towards you informs so much, and they're just walking towards you. Where do you feel that discomfort in your body? How have you moved from that grounded spot as they approach? And they pass. It was neutral. They just walked past you and you walked home and it was okay. But once you get into that heady space, it may feel overwhelming. And that's why I think playing with boundaries is so important. Because boundaries are beautiful things. They help us maintain, sustain, be individuals while also interacting with community. And I want to dismantle some barriers. I want to build up others. And I think from a centered place, we can create those with kindness. I think with COVID, a lot of folks are struggling because we've had to put up these walls to our family. It's like, no, I can't come over. You can't come over because you haven't been being careful. I love you, but no. So I want to put up those same barriers that you may need, but from a place that isn't changing the situation because of the barrier we put up. If I put up a barrier like this, hey, no, that's big, and that will change how the person reacts to me. Sometimes it's necessary, but I want you to study all the space before that. This scary person walking towards you, you may center and put up this boundary of, okay, I'm going to take maybe a few steps to the side. I may just breathe and be calm, even though that spidey sense is going off, and not to discount nature, because fight or flight is this amazing tool that has helped us survive as a species. But with martial arts and with Aikido specifically for me, I've been able to enhance that space in my interactions. And so from a centered place, I have more time. Even with all my training, I have more time from a centered place rather than someplace in my mind. And also, as I said, you change the situation depending on the barriers that you put up, the boundaries you put up. And what barriers are you just not knowing that are already there? Like, what makes you not scary? Are you really small? Are you a white woman who just thinks that you can do no harm? Know that for someone else, that may be the scariest person for them. We all have this ability to do harm. And we all have a choice in our path, and very changeable. We may change how we react and put out, but also understanding and perspective taking that you can also be the most threatening person in a room, in a space. The moment someone can pull out a phone and call 911 and lie about something, that is a threat. And just because you don't perceive yourself as threatening doesn't mean that harm isn't or won't be done. So I'm asking for that space for people to practice being centered so that they can understand perspective take and decide on a path and not commit to a path, right? That's too far. If you commit to one way, you may be wrong. That's okay. You may do more harm. That's less okay. So decide on your action, receive and decide again, receive and decide again. And as a person that is multicultural, mixed race, that's how I've been living in the world. And so for this to be a huge conference, a seminar to share my perspective is amazing, because I didn't realize people didn't move through the world like this. I felt very alone because I felt like I was working so hard to be social. It's really difficult to do those gymnastics all the time, that Rolodex, all the masks that I have to keep in my back pocket, because someone sees me as the most threatening person in a room, or someone that is disrupting a system or a norm. And how does that conflict with me as a person? I want to be here, I want to be me, but why does it feel so bad? And so trying to be myself, expand myself, and be fully myself, all those identities are just me. So from a centered place, I think that we can really move forward and acknowledge all these different and beautiful perspectives that people offer. Because being threatening doesn't feel good. For me, at least. In one of the workshops that I did, someone shared that it was like fun to play that role. Because it was a role, they were very aware how they could leave again. A little bit like allyship. If there's something that you can just take away to preserve yourself, kind of what are you fighting for? In Minneapolis recently, there was a ton of protests, right, that are still going on. But a neighborhood watch recommended that people take down their Black Lives Matter signs, take down their flags, any gay flags, pride flags, so that their house wasn't targeted. What do you do when you can't strip that off? And I acknowledge my privilege of being very light skinned because I am mixed. And so being fully myself, that rebellion that I don't want to participate in, but I don't have a choice because it is harmful for me to exist in a system and be complicit. It is dangerous for me to say it's not right. But from a centered place, I know which is important for me to do. I would not be here if I couldn't find that in myself. So I'm asking more folks to find that space because lives depend on it. That breath, that centeredness that you can feel is being stripped from people. Being centered doesn't just make you safer. From a grounded place, it is stable, it is strong. And being yourself makes the whole community stronger. Diversify. It makes everything stronger. And learn to walk those different paths. That perspective taking, I can't do from a headspace because I focus on me. And rather from a centered place, I can understand that it's not personal. I can understand the socialization that we've been brought up in, but I need to work from that space. And so this practice, that energy that can be felt, the ground supporting you, that place that we return to make the most informed decision we can going forward, can be practiced all the time. I mean, I've been practicing for officially like over 20 years and I'm still discovering it, but practicing it more lets us access that space faster. So you can do this when you're washing dishes, when you're driving in the car, just returning that focus and energy to a place deep within us, supported by the earth that is our home. And doing that work, finding where you're uncomfortable. So even if you can't access that place, notice, oh, I can't get there right now. What's tight? What is tense? And what is making it that way? And why? Who's the stranger walking toward you on the street? And appreciating who they are, that space, and understanding that at times, there's definitely going to be a fight, whether that's verbally, physically, against a system that is trying to oppress people. We can work together if we're grounded, if we're stable, if we're whole. Leaving pieces of us behind or stripping away parts of us or trying to not embrace all our identities is making our global community weak. And we could be fluid within ourselves too. So I ask you to practice finding that spot, and it's difficult, I know that. So even if you can't, work on it. Do you connect from your pinky to your core? Or are you more cerebral and need to think of a waterfall and that weight pressing down? Find your way to find center. It's a little like physics. It's this moving point, and that's okay. But be able to find it. I'd love to open up to questions because I do want this to be more of a conversation. And if folks have scenarios to bring up, questions about what feels tight, what they feel, I would love to do that now. So please use the question and answer feature.
Yeah, Sam, just so you know too, what you just shared has really resonated with folks. You've got chats filled with people saying, so powerful, I've shared exactly your same feeling. Thank you for offering this. So what you are saying, even if it isn't other people's experience of your identity, is resonating with everyone. So I'm gonna open it up to our first question from Michelle. Who is really musing over your title still, Existence as Protest, and wants to know if that's similar to Trevor Noah's idea of born a crime, saying who you are in it of itself is protest in our binary culture. Would you elaborate?
Yes, of course. Born a Crime, great book. Definitely read it. I think he explores race dynamics from multiple perspectives, South Africa, as well as in the US, in a really great way. And it is a protest against the systems that we've been born into, established, have upheld for so long. I think what people are asking for it to be moving forward is that right, their being is not a protest. Why does it need to be a protest against a law or just you are more at risk because of who you are? I think working from the place where we can be participating members, contributing members of society is really important. And how can that happen? And so our resources right now, I think, need to be bettered. We need to prevent and make sure that people have the tools that they need to be a full person, an embraced person. So mental health resources and affordable housing is a really important step rather than a punitive justice system that we're in. So this protest for being a person shouldn't exist. In my ideal world, it doesn't exist, this imagined reality that is an idea that I'm working to make tangible with so many other folks also. But the fact that the idea that I want you to leave with is that, yes, it's my title, and also it shouldn't be people's reality.
Yeah, beautiful. Next, we have Emmanuel asking, how do you deal with people who put their desire for the illusion of safety within an oppressive system over your and other people's actual safety?
Yeah, that's the struggle. I'm figuring it out. I've been to protests peacefully and a counter protest and trying to talk to folks. I think it's very important to separate the individual, and there's systemic racism, which is policy changes, but also you can always find an individual in that's working to change. So even just speaking, all right, offering that authentic piece of myself from a centered spot, because at a Back the Blue rally, it's quite tenuous. But being able to talk to people and from a centered place, I can acknowledge that they don't know me. I am that stranger. They may perceive me in a lot of different ways, but they don't know me. I just met them. So whatever assumptions they hold, I know are not true about myself, unless they think I'm amazing. Then maybe. But encountering that individual and making a connection, maybe they'll change. But also, right on those larger systems, being willing to ask for change. If you're a good person in a bad system, you're still supporting that bad system. And how can we make it so that all these wonderful individuals are here together? And as I said, it's just from a really centered place, or else we wouldn't be moving forward. There are communities out there. There are people that want to work with you, that can help you flourish and push you to be better, because that's what I strive for too, improvement and betterment, but also embracing the now and who you are right now, because your body and your mind are carrying your being. It's a struggle though. So practice being centered. I'm still working on it.
Great. Next, I'm gonna bring a question from Tiger, asking from a trans perspective, how does passing or a desire to pass as cis resonate within the practice that you've explained?
Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting because, right, we think of this binary, and often for trans folks, they do want to be passing, not everyone at all, and it's not necessary at all, but there is those sides of the spectrum that are still really attractive. And I think being fluid with yourself is important. You may embrace a certain identity and be wholly there. I think my issue is when there's that barrier in accepting other people's identity, because please be you, please do. And I also, I guess, am connecting this to my own sexuality. I consider myself bisexual because I am attracted to gender, how people present gender or lack of gender. Like I have different moods, and that's okay, rather than pansexual, who I feel like don't see gender sometimes. And so that distinguishing is okay. Talking with folks is okay. And per se being passing, it's important how people perceive you. And obviously we're still in this system that rewards that, that gives safety for that, or just not safety, but less harm, less risk. So there is, it's absolutely okay to want to be okay and to have to move through the world with that goal because it's for your safety. I think people work from a lot of different places, and a lot of people are taking really different steps in this work. And that's okay, because we are in fact all different, and that's important because we're all moving a different direction and hopefully creating something better. And so whatever you bring to that work in yourself with others is valuable, as long as you're working and moving and taking care of yourself.
Yeah, nice. Next, I'm going to bring up Nikki, who asks, who have been some of your teachers, mentors, role models who have really influenced you in your practice?
My mom is amazing. She is one of the strongest women I know, boundless energy. She's like gamma waves, where I'm like radio waves. So we've had conflict, but really her support and her acknowledgement of who I am has been critical. I also love kind of a, not a faux mother, a mentor mother, Delita Cathcart. If you can read her writing, she's an amazing professor. Sue Hall in the Aikido world as well has been a great mentor to me. And really everyone that I encounter, I've definitely learned, be it a positive or a negative interaction, just being able to learn from whoever you encounter. And as a mixed person, that's not really an option. You learn from your interactions. And so being open to anyone being your teacher, whatever they teach you, and internalizing that in a way that brings you forward and helps you expand. So many folks. I am very lucky.
Great. we had a question that came in too about specifically survivors of sexual abuse and how they may not be accepted within their own families, and they see the abusers being accepted instead. And how do you sit with that within this framework, or any tips to offer?
I think pulling from a different identity, my queer identity, chosen family is so important. Surround yourself with the people that accept you, support you. And that is really, really hard. Right? Fighting against something all the time and putting yourself in a situation where it's harmful for you. At some point, it's dragging you back. And having these open dialogues and conversations with people is a great starting point. Really difficult. You may be working from a different point. Like, I just need to be able to sit in a room with someone, and that may not be possible right now. But I think, as I said, your chosen family will help you get through that. When you can't care for yourself, you need people around you. Because as humans, we're social, we build community. And so knowing that, whereas family may not provide that support, even though you desperately want them to, that kindness barrier may be needed to be constructed. A barrier of kindness for yourself, for your self-care, and then also seek care, ask, reach out, chosen family will support you.
Yeah, beautiful. There's another question similar that I think your answer may be similar, but just to summarize, the almost the flip side, the opposite of someone who currently identifies as white cis hetero woman who doesn't feel accepted in their group. So how do you, or specifically has been ejected, you know, from not belonging. So how do you manage that?
Mm-hmm. I think it's really important. Sirian actually said this yesterday. She said that I am heartbroken by who I center and why. I think for a lot of white people right now, it's hard not to be the default. People are asking for white supremacy not to be the default. And that's really unsettling. But once again, being open to those perspectives, different perspectives, is crucial in your own growth. And that growth is made a little bit easier if you can receive it from a centered place. So I ask everyone to practice.
Well, we are coming up to the end of our time, which has just flown by. And so I do have to say that it's been totally illuminating, and your observation that protest is exhausting, but also giving us all, one, your perspective, as well as tips for all of us to figure out how to reconcile our own identities of how we, what we put out there, how we pass people on the street, and just giving a touch point for everyone to come back to, I think has been super, super powerful.
Thank you.
So if you had to sum up everything in one tip for your top tip for being embodied, what would that be, Sam Tatel?
Notice where you're receiving from. Noticing is the first step. You may not be centered, you may not be stable, but noticing is the beginning to that growth. Thank you so much. I appreciate everyone that came.